Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we take a look at readings from Samuel and the Psalms and then the Gospel of Mark. But let me begin by saying this is the feast day of a woman by the name of Sister Mary Ann Cope. Her name was Barbara, and she came to the United States from West Germany when she was just an infant. And then, after proving herself as a dedicated, selfless hospital administrator, she answered the call to serve lepers in Hawaii. "I am hungry," she said, "for the work, and I wish with all my heart to be one of the chosen ones whose privilege it will be to sacrifice themselves for the salvation of the souls of the poor Irelanders. I am not afraid of any disease." She cared for them for over 30 years before she died in 1918. Sister Mary Ann Cope is her name. What a great courage. She had, you know what I would say, she had a bit of the Lord's heart in her heart. She was very compassionate, reaching out to the poor and the needy, especially those who were so ill. And she did it for over 30 years, brothers and sisters. You didn't travel like we can travel today. It was very arduous to get there, but she was there and cared for them. Let's take a look at the first reading today from the first book of Samuel, chapter 18, verses 6 to 9, and then chapter 19, verses 1 to 7. When David and Saul approached on David's return after slaying the Philistine, women came out from each of the cities of Israel to meet King Saul, singing and dancing with tambourines, joyful songs, and sistrums. The women played and sang, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s." Saul was very angry. He was resentful of that song, for he thought, "They give David 10,000s, but only thousands to me. All that remains for him is the kingship." And from that day on, Saul was jealous of David. Just stop there for a moment and think how we hear something and it immediately can make us jealous. We haven't gone to the heart of it yet, but we've drawn our own conclusions and we start thinking about them and talking about them and acting on them. But Saul discussed his intention of killing David. It was jealousy. It was just. Sometimes it's not just, but it was jealousy. And yet he wanted to kill David with his son Jonathan and all his servants. But Saul's son Jonathan, who was very fond of David, told him, "My father Saul," he went to David and said, "My father Saul is trying to kill you. Therefore, please be on your guard tomorrow morning. Get out of sight and remain in hiding. I, however, will go out and stand beside my father in the countryside where you are and will speak to him about you. If I learn anything, I will let you know." Jonathan then spoke well of David to his father Saul, saying to him, "Let not your majesty sin against his servant David, for he has committed no offense against you. He has helped you very much by his deeds. When he took his life in his hands and slew the Philistine, and the Lord brought about a great victory for all Israel through him, you were glad to see it. Why then should you become guilty of shedding innocent blood by killing David without cause?" Saul heeded Jonathan's plea and swore, "As the Lord lives, he shall not be killed." So Jonathan summoned David and repeated the whole conversation to him. Jonathan then brought David to Saul, and David served him as before. Look what a catastrophe that could have been. Look at that. But the son went and talked to his father, and his father heeded. So there was humility there. There was wisdom, and there was humility. Don't act on your reactions. Don't act when you have a reaction. Stop. Ask God, "What would you have me do?" Because some lives have been destroyed because people act without thinking. They're angry, they're hurt, and they react. We need to take everything to God, everything in our lives. And as the Lord lives, he shall not be killed, said Saul. And so Jonathan summoned David and repeated the whole conversation to him. Jonathan then brought David to Saul, and David served him as before. Isn't that amazing that David was loyal enough to continue to serve the man who was going to kill him? Now think about the courage there, going to God and asking God, what should I do here? I'm not saying that's what you always should do, but I want you to note that he sought the Lord. He kept seeking the Lord's wisdom and understanding and carried it out. Psalm 56 tells us, in God I trust, I shall not fear. Have mercy on me, O God, for men trample upon me. All the day they press their attack against me. My adversaries trample upon me all the day. Yes, many fight against me. My wanderings you have counted, my tears are stored in your flask, and are they not recorded in your book? Then do my enemies turn back when I call upon you. When I do that, now I know that God is with me. In God, in whose promise I glory. In God I trust without fear. What can flesh do against me? I am bound, O God, by vows to you. Your thank offerings I will fulfill. For you have rescued me from death, my feet too from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. I know what this whole dynamic is like. We all do, most of us. Somebody says something about us that either isn't true or is partly true, and we get wind of it, we hear about it, and we get angry, and it begins to grow and grow out of all proportion. God wants us to go quickly to that person, or at least have a mediator go and speak on our behalf and say, I don't want to fight. I don't want to battle. This is the truth of what happened. Let's reconcile. Seek reconciliation. Whenever you have struggles, seek them unless people have told you you should not and you should go away from that situation. But for the most part, we ought to be able to go to the person and say, this is my part, I'm sorry for what I did, or you have received false information, or whatever applies to the case. But don't stay back. Don't stay back and let your own temper and your own anger and jealousy and envy grow. Don't do that, because you just mushroom something into something that could remain small and could remain able to be reconciled. So I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, when you've been hurt by something someone has said, take a deep breath, go to the Lord, talk to him, and then go to the person. Just tell them, can we straighten this out? God will help you. God will show you what you should do. Brothers and sisters, that's how we build relationships. That's how we grow. Many times the people that I've had arguments with, and sometimes serious arguments, have ended up being very good friends, because people would say, oh, I didn't know that, or I didn't understand it that way, or I didn't hear it that way. But if you just open your heart, brothers and sisters, God can do all kinds of good things for you. Ask God to help you. I always do. Lord, accompany me. Come with me in this meeting. Help me. Inspire me. Show me what to do. And he will help you. In God I trust, this is Psalm, I shall not fear. I shall not fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid no matter what circumstances you're in. Go to him and he will help you. And then we look today at the Gospel of Mark chapter 3, verses 7 to 12. Jesus withdrew toward the sea with his disciples. A large number of people followed from Galilee and from Judea. Hearing what he was doing, a large number of people came to him also from Jerusalem, from Idumea, from beyond the Jordan, and from the neighborhood of Tyre and Sidon. He told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, so that they would not crush him. He had cured many, and as a result, those who had diseases were pressing upon him to touch him. And whenever unclean spirits saw him, they would fall down before him and shout, "You are the Son of God." He warned them sternly not to make him known. This was not to be the time of the revelation of who he was. And he asked his disciples to have a boat ready for him so he could stay in the river and they would not crush him. But he healed them. He restored them of whatever was psychological or physical. Whatever the case may be, he cured them and he warned them sternly not to make him known. You know, if you start getting a reputation, you know, there are thousands of people who start following you. That happened with Jesus. Jesus was trying to contain that because he really wanted to minister to people. There's too large a crowd. Yes, he was God and he could have done anything. But he was also Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he wanted to be able to reach the people. He wanted to be able to care for them, to feed them, to nourish them, to strengthen them. Brothers and sisters, that's what God wants to do for us. He wants to meet with us. Do you give him time every day? Do you ignore him? Do you spend time with him? Can you get to daily Mass, even if it's only once a week or twice a week? Can you get to early Mass? Brothers and sisters, and just say to the Lord, here's my life. Here's what I have to do today. Would you come with me and help me? Help me to know what is most important for you and for the kingdom. Show me what I'm to do. In whatever circumstance you're in, just ask him. Because he builds his kingdom on relationships. He builds his kingdom on those who turn to him. On those he wishes would turn to him. He doesn't just ignore certain groups of people. He reaches out to everyone. And we want to be in the same position in our jobs, whatever work we're doing. We want to be in the same position. We want to reach out to those who are around us and draw us closer and closer to the Lord. Father Cantalamessa, who is a Franciscan Capuchin priest, he's a theologian, and he is a preacher to the papal household. Brothers and sisters, what a great man. And he writes this. He says, Christ willed to found his church on nothing else than faith in him as the Son of God. Peter becomes Cephas, rock. The moment when by revelation from the Father, he believes in the divine origin of Jesus. On this rock, St. Augustine comments, I shall build the faith which you have professed. On the fact that you have said you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, I shall build my church. The church was founded on the first act of faith in the temporal order, in Christ's divinity. This remains her basis. This allows her to overcome the world and the gates of hell. How different the works of God are from those of human beings. The whole immense edifice of the church set on something invisible, very fragile, yet invincible, on faith in Christ, the Son of God, and on the promise made in response to this faith. The church is, in herself, the tangible proof of the truth of these words. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Son of God overcomes the world. Count your faith very precious. Encourage it. Pray that prayer often if you can. God bless you.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.